So first of all, it's a joy to be here. It's a joy always to be with children of the mother, with seekers. That's the greatest company that one could ever find. It's always a delight. And when you feel that special touch of bhakti, that touch of Mother Aurobindo, it enlivens the heart. So this is the shortest background. So thank you for arranging this, actually. For I think last 10 years back I had come, and people have been asking at different points of time, different people. And I said, dekhenge, I'll come one of the days while going, coming. I don't know, suddenly Punita shifted and wanted to come, and somehow I said, okay, chalo, the time has come. So it worked out like that. So for everything there is a time and circumstance which the divine knows. He keeps it in his heart. It has to just manifest. So this is the background and Jai Ma. So though there is a formal subject, but probably question answers may be a very good way to cover a very wide range of their teachings. So you had a question, and maybe we can start with that. It doesn't matter. Everything converges onto one.
Yeah. So, there are situations where corruption also becomes part of the corporate life. So, how should we, what should be our attitude and our action towards that? Because without that...
Yes. That's actually a very easy thing to answer, though it seems very paradoxical. So first thing to understand, which is like the background. If you understand the background, the principle, then everything else flows easily. First thing to understand is there is a difference between idealism and yoga. It's very hard for the human mind to conceive that there is something greater than idealism. And I'm saying this with all responsibility, because all of us, I have myself been of such a thorough idealistic streak that, you know, I would go out and not want to pick up a single, even if somebody gave a gift, I would say no, till someone reminded me that this is also an ego, sir. I said, yeah, that's ego. Dene ke liye theek hai. I said, yes, okay, everything comes from her and goes to her in the larger sense. But that apart, that there is something, a truth which is higher than even idealism. And the difference is that idealism sometimes stops at itself, whereas the divine manifestation looks beyond. So the Mahabharata war is a classic example, where on one side there is the idealistic approach to life, which is where the Pandavas stand for, and the other side is that there is a greater truth to manifest. And should one focus on that, or should one be in one's own, you know, formation? So this is one part of it. It doesn't answer the question fully. But the more important thing is that I am responsible. I am using a human language. I am responsible for what is executed through me. I am not responsible for something else. And if you take that benchmark, then many problems of life get sorted out. So, if something comes to me and I have to act upon this, so I should be clear in my heart, I should do it as an offering to the divine. I should do it based on what is the true thing to be done, the beautiful thing to be done, what I feel deeply inspired by. After that, what are other people doing and how they are approaching it should not be basically my approach. And if we take it like that, this very world where there is so much of corruption and all this, I mean all over the world, let's not blame only the corporate world, all over the world it's there. You know, micro-corruption occurs right at the grassroots levels. So if we take that approach, then everything becomes a feeder for the lotus to bloom out of the mud. And the third important thing is that what is my goal? See, if you go into the problem of evil, it's a very, very deep problem. It doesn't go away just by my or your taking a certain approach. Okay, we should take our best approach. But the problem is very deep rooted, and I don't think of anyone other than Sri Aurobindo who has taken it to the utmost earnest. Because that has to do with the kind of consciousness human beings live in. And till it changes, all external methods are simply manipulations, delaying, and all of us are aware what happens in the world, in what way. So we should not start thinking along those lines right now. Rather, the true remedy would be that a change of consciousness. One Sri Aurobindo has said, and it's so true because we are bound by our consciousness. You may make a dog wear very good dress, okay, and make him sit in an air-conditioned car and take him around Mumbai and feed him with the best food. But still, it remains what it is. So, change of consciousness is the remedy. So let's focus on the permanent solution. Now this is not denying the problem and saying, I'll grow inside and I'll become one with God and I'll be in bliss and I'll follow an ideal. Okay, I am not the only fellow, is the world at large. But each person who ascends in his consciousness, lives by a greater truth, expresses it in life, which is the most important thing, then there is a effect. What today in today's language we call as the magnetic resonance effect, which spreads into the different part just by your mere presence. And it begins to exercise an unseen influence. Why this is important? Because, you know, idealism is good. Again, once again, I'm saying, when you have nothing higher. And societies have been there which have lived by that. There have been very sattvic societies. In India, ancient India itself was a very sattvic society. But sattvic society is unable to maintain itself beyond a point. It tends to come down, degenerate. It enters into tamas very often, or some kind of a rajas, and then the fall comes, then the rise again. So one thing we know, if you really look sincerely, that if you are really concerned about the problem in which the world is caught, evil, let's take that, corruption is one way to look at it. The problem is the consciousness. The problem is the, you know, we have been given these three bandwidths. Tamas, Rajas, Sattva. Beyond, there is freedom. Now, this doesn't solve the problem. And here Sri Aurobindo comes with something higher, that all these three bandwidths that we see are themselves distortions within the range of the ego of something higher. So, transformation of nature, if you really look at it, is the problem of the solution to the world problem. Each such person engaging into it helps so many others, and there are so many examples from Sri Aurobindo's own life. Just to, you know, Sri Aurobindo never spoke a lie, but there is a very interesting incident. I'll first tell the story, then it, you know, you can look at it in very, at least I looked at it in a different way. So when he came by the ship from Kolkata to Pondicherry, so there was a bit of a problem, because as he was to board, suddenly the English doctor came, and first he caught him, and caught him means, where is the medical, all this started. Now, if he knew that it is Srijut Aurobindo Ghosh, Sri Aurobindo for us, he would have been back to wherever he had to be. So Sri Aurobindo, and you know, he came, traveled under a assumed name. So what is the assumed name that Sri Aurobindo assumed? Anyone? No, that's the birth added name. So the name is very interesting. It is Jyotindranath. So when somebody asked me, didn't he tell a lie? I said, no, he spoke a greater truth. Jyotindranath. I said, just imagine, you know, his name was Jyotindranath. And then, because the man is drunk, I'm just narrating a small incident. So the man is drunk, and Sri Aurobindo spoke English, which even that man, who was a British man, he said, oh, you speak such good English, you cannot be, you know, you have to be wonderful. So full advantage of his British teaching and the slightly British accent, that he immediately was anyways drunk, certified him. Now, is it right or is it wrong? So there are different aspects we have to always look at when we take a decision. The larger aspect of the whole situation, one of them is when mother is traveling by with Pavitrada, he used to be the driver, and Pranabda would sit next to her. Or sometimes it would be Mrityunjaya, these were the people accompanying. So once Pavitrada had a tendency to drive quite fast, and those days Pondicherry, so he's driving fast, and the French police stopped him, and we started, you know, argument started. Suddenly Pavitrada feels that mother is tapping on the shoulders. So he looked behind. What is it mother saying suddenly? Mother was not saying anything. She held a 5 rupee note in her hand. Now she is not saying you give bribe, please. But when you look at the larger picture, there is a work to be done for which she is going. It's not like a casual event that you are taking a walk and strolling. And if you read these stories, you understand what Sri Krishna did. Till today people ask, why did he say Ashwatthama Hatohata Narova Kunjaro? And the kettle drums are beating, and you know they didn't hear Narova Kunjaro. So Dronacharya is sitting on the ground helplessly, and Arjun won't do anything. And so Drishtadyumna suddenly gets charged up and he beheads him. Then Arjun gets fiery and he wants to kill Drishtadyumna. He says, how could you do this to my guru? And Sri Krishna quietens him. So we have to always in life, one thing which I have understood from Sri Aurobindo and the mother, yes, the moment is important. This is not to belittle it, but always to keep the larger picture in mind, which Sri Aurobindo describes in Essays on the Gita so well. That keep the larger picture in mind, because the world is moving towards a great event, and never lose sight of that. One small example can be a practical example, then we'll take up some other question, that you know, somebody does something wrong in our view, let's say, and we have a right to our view. Let's not argue which is the better view or correct view. In my view, it may be something wrong. What do? I fight, get angry, or I keep my peace and practice equanimity? This is a real question for any practitioner of yoga. Isn't it? Peace and equanimity will take me closer to the goal which I have chosen for myself. Then we can see when there is the direct full light of the divine. See, many things we cannot see because we are living in half light. Why this full light is so important, the supramental consciousness. And then when we see, then we see knowledge and ignorance, both are tools of the divine. That the highest truth. In Savitri it is spoken, mentioned like that, in knowledge and ignorance, they have spoken and met. So there is a greater truth in which all is seen as an unfolding of the divine and moving toward that great mystery. First thing important is to reach that point. Because if we don't reach that point, then we get caught in all kinds of web, like corporate world, well, it is there, all kinds of situation. But we should remember, and most important is to make sure that this presence is not by anything, any action or any reactions, we don't lose contact with this presence. One last little story, when Hanuman is to enter Lanka, beautifully in Ramcharitmanas it is described, he sees that it's an Asur kingdom. It's not going to be easy, even for Hanuman. So he tells a mantra to himself, and he says, Pravishi Nagar ki je sab kaja, Hirdaya Rakhi Kaushalpur Raja. He says, do what you have to do, but always keep in your mind the Kaushalpur Raja. That's Lord Rama, his everything. Now what does he do when he comes? Now there is Lankini standing on the gate. He doesn't enter into a, you know, I'll prove to you by the rules of the WWF match. He doesn't do that. When necessary, he takes the form of a little masak roop dhari. He could take that route. Is it right or is it wrong? He has the siddhi, but should he do it or should he not? Question people can debate. When necessary, he gives a blow. He doesn't say, oh, you are a woman, I am not supposed to hit. at that point of time, it's not that. With Tadka, he does something very, not Tadka, Sursai, he does something very different. He simply says, when Sursai is saying, I want to eat you, he says, to ma, tu mujhe kha na le. That's how the poet describes. Because whatever Hanuman said turned out to be true. So he says, kha na le. You will not eat me. So what does he do? Very beautifully described, jo jo sursa mukh visraba taas doon kapi roop dikhava. This is a match going on. She is stretching her mouth and Hanuman is becoming double. Till a point comes, then he plays what can be considered as foul. Imagine, he becomes suddenly anima, this is one of the vidyas, very small, enters into the mouth and comes out. Before she can close the mouth, he says, see, I gave you a fair chance. You didn't do it. What can I do? Then she says, she is a goddess. She says, I came to test you, that do you have only strength or you also have wisdom? That's why when you read Hanuman Chalisa, it starts with this, bal, buddhi, vidya, deva bahi, harahum kalesh vikar. So it's very important that whenever we are acting in life, it's directly related to the subject. We should never ever forget the goal. Whatever may be. This remembrance of the divine, this presence, it should not be veiled. No storm should arise because so many things will happen which will test us to the limits, to our sense of idealism, one of the things, to the sense of right and wrong, which are very useful at one point of time. And they have their own utility again. But there is a larger picture, because if frankly speaking, if the divinization were not to take place, then you have an ideal society in collapse one day. This happened. Mahabharata, before that, you see Satyug. So that's the larger picture. Always keep in mind, at least for those who are on the path of yoga. For those who want to lead a human life, yes, of course, the Rajo Satyagun, which Arjun Devasuri Devi Sampada is the highest you can. But this goes beyond the guna. That's why Shri Krishna tells him in the beginning. Because he knows there are things going to happen which you won't like it. Simple as that. And he says, Trigunatita Bhava Savyasachi. He cautions him. Because you are entering a war. If you really look at life, it is nothing short of a war which is taking place on many grounds, within, around, individually, collectively. So what is important is to always remember the goal. Even in Savitri, that's the program which is given. Remember why thou camest. All the rest comes later. Finding this divine presence, not just as an intellectual exercise. I know God exists within me. I can prove it. You may prove it, but you have not realized it. So focus on that one. All the rest is later.